It's time for Cofield and Company Live at Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
So, I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. You're not good at anything.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay?
I want my roast to have a happy ending.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Get ready for Thursday night football. Little VGK preseason hockey tonight as well. Aces playing. Adam Hill is here as the company. Ari's back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Angel alongside right here at Silver Sevens. Flamingo in Paradise. Great drink specials. They got a happy hour going down right now with $2 pints and margaritas and well drinks until 5 o'clock during the game. You've got 277 drafts. Buckets that are 1177. Hell, on top of that, when the Golden Knights play, the beers, the drafts go down. No, it's a bottle. Bottle, $1.77. How about that? So if you want to drink a little bit, watch the football, watch the hockey, watch the Aces, hang out with us right here at Silver Sevens on a Thursday. Let's kick it.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
So Adam and I are on social media all day, all night. We're always looking for goofy stuff, dopey videos. I saw a video last night with Las Vegas's Amir Garrett, and I was like, wait, did they, like, reverse the shot? Where's the team that he was running at to kick ass? Remember that highlight from about 2 months ago when there was a base brawl, and Amir Garrett, the Reds pitcher, decided to run at 23 players on the other team?
It was the Pirates, by the way.
Yeah, Pirates. So
that's dangerous. I mean, the Pirates had a fight amongst themselves and knocked players out for the season. So
I was like, well, Felipe Vasquez isn't there, so I'm guessing that he doesn't want to doink Amir Garrett. So I think he's safe on that front. But you're right, so. Vasquez was in the fight. Yep. But anyway, I see a shot of, like, a delayed reaction. Amir Garrett just starts, like, booking out of dugout. I'm like, where are all the players? What is this?
He sprinted off the field, and he looked kind of nervous, to be honest with you, which is crazy because Amir Garrett, as you mentioned, is the guy that took on the entire Pirates team just a couple of weeks ago, including, like, a flying knee that had people thinking he could be an MMA fighter if he wanted to. Yesterday, not the case, because he struck out a player from the Cubs, and I'll get to who that was in a second, but he struck out a player and started really taunting and celebrating out of the mound, and then the player stared him down, told him to get back to the dugout or else, basically, and Garrett sprinted to the dugout because that was Kyle Schwarber. So I guess Amir Garrett is willing to throw down to an extent, and once Schwarber wants to throw down, no thank you. And I think that's probably the right decision.
Do you think that's really what happened? My guess is that on the heels of what happened the last time, because he got so much attention and also got, you know, a slap on the wrist from Major League Baseball, that he was joking. And he's like, well, I'm not going to fight, so I'm going to run the other way, because the last time I ran into the fight, I got dinged.
I 100% agree with you, but the narrative is much more fun that he just ran away.
That would be a good matchup.
Yeah, it would.
Schwarbs at 6 foot and 260. And Amir Garrett at 6'5 and probably about 225.
I think he's like 235.
I would like to see the length difference.
He's got the reach.
If Schwarbs can get inside the length, if there's a takedown. I don't know. Kyle Schwarber could be a takedown artist.
Well, I imagine, like, if Garrett tried, like, the flying stuff again, because that's what he did last time he jumped in there, that Schwarbs could just kind of get out of the way and just corral him and take him down, get him off balance.
Yep.
But I don't know how much – I don't know how – his takedown, you know, offense is. I don't know if he can get anybody to the ground. I know once he gets there, he'd probably be pretty dangerous, Schwarber. But could he get Garrett down?
We could do this for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so and break down, like, every athlete fight ever and possible athlete fight, because Randy Couture, Las Vegas, former UFC champ at 205 and heavyweight, is going to join us here at Silver 7. So if you want to come by, he's going to be here in about 25 minutes. Meet, greet, listen to the interview. Lots of interesting stuff to discuss with Mr. Couture.
Should I fight him?
Well, you know, I want to get advice from Couture on how to be a man.
Yeah.
Because I know you need the advice, and there's certain things where I need it as well. I want to see how, like, we know he's manly because he can fight. He's a veteran. But, like, maybe he has a weakness in the house. Like, maybe he's not strong at changing light bulbs. I don't know.
That's good. That'd be a good question.
Maybe he's confounded by the garage door opener.
I bet that he could change a light bulb, but I don't think anybody can figure out a garage door opener. I mean, the opener, yeah, but, like, if there's something goes wrong with it, you've got nothing.
This is going to be quite the expose. We're going to find out a lot about Randy Couture.
Yeah, that's true.
In about 25 minutes. All right, coming out with the three, that's story number one, Amir Garrett running from a fight. I don't really think he was doing that. It's kind of mocking on the last time he ran into a fight. This is a great headline, and I know you and I looked at it and were like, yeah, seems about right. USA Today, Dolphins linebacker says ref told him to, quote, stay off Tom after a legal hit on Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think anybody's shocked by this, but Raekwon McMillan is the linebacker in question from the Dolphins. He said that after a legal hit, the referee said, as you mentioned, stay off Tom. And you read this, I think, first of all, people are going a little nuts about, like, oh, I knew it. I knew they're protecting Tom Brady. I have a feeling something was kind of lost in translation there, and not translation like foreign language, but just what are you saying? I think what he's saying is, hey, we're protecting the quarterbacks. You got to stay off the quarterbacks. You can't hit them late. Even though this was a legal hit, he's probably saying, like, hey, that was borderline. Make sure you're okay next time. But this is everything that everyone believes is going on.
Right. But you don't – okay, one, there's field mics.
Yeah.
If a referee is calling Tom Brady by his first name,
right,
you're done for the season.
He'd be done for career.
Because I'll give you credit. You have softened a bit on officials, because I think you would have come out here spitting fire at this stay-off-Tom referee.
Well, if he really said it, then yes,
But you did have a somber conversation where I think, one, you wilted. Two, you got a better understanding of what goes on with officials. We spoke to Joey Crawford for about a half an hour at the Summer League, and you were enlightened.
Well, I went to a referee seminar with Joey Crawford all day, too. So, I mean, yes, I did, but I haven't changed that much on officials. Like, these kind of things, I'm still – the other day, I was actually on the field before the game in Oakland, and there was a referee that walked out. There was a guy who was – I want to call him a referee groupie. I don't think that's the right term. He was, like, a referee super fan.
Really?
And he's yelling out at, like – he knows the line judge's name.
Oh, my God.
And he's, like, yelling for the line judge. He's, like, yelling for the line judge. He's like, hey, Jimmy! Jimmy, get over here, Jimmy! And he's, like, he's asking for his autograph. And the line judge is like, hey, man, like, I can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. We can't sign autographs. Like, sorry, I apologize. We can't do it. And then he's like, hey, tell Billy and Tom to get over. Like, he knows every single referee's name. But luckily, this guy was like, no, we're referees. We're not supposed to be signing autographs. We can't take pictures. Like, that's not who we are. And I was like, good for you, sir. Like, you have to be objective. You can't be in the spotlight. You can't be signing autographs and those sorts of things. So they were very focused on maintaining that line. This would be egregious if he's like, hey, hey, stay off my guy Tom over there. Like, you can't do that.
But here's the thing. They do it.
Yeah.
They do it. We know with 99% certainty that Cam Newton wasn't lying.
No.
A few years back when he claimed that Ed Hockley told him, hey, you're not going to get that kind of penalty. You know, he's getting knocked around.
You're too big.
No, no, no. It wasn't even that. It was, oh, you haven't been around long enough.
Yeah.
Like Tom.
Yeah.
And Ben.
You're not Tom or Ben.
And Aaron.
You got to build up to that point.
There are NFL referees who are way too friendly with players, and yeah, it's a line you cannot cross. And in no way should you be on the field calling a player by his first name.
Definitely not ever. No chance.
Nicknames.
Could you imagine?
You know?
Tommy Terrific. Stay off Tommy Terrific.
Now imagine if they're screaming at a cornerback, like, you know, interference. It's like, now you are all over AD. Like, okay, what are we doing here? Now you're using his initials?
It should really just be numbers. That's how they should be identified.
God.
That's it.
The worst. Well, speaking of AB, what's the latest? You're not really on the AB beat anymore because he's not with the Raiders, but it's like you got to follow up on the stuff because every day there's a new development.
Yeah, there's always something new, and we know that the Patriots have been hiding him from the media ever since he got there.
This is, you know what, we don't even need to introduce this. This is, the Pats apparently were like, okay, we're going to bring Antonio Brown out to satisfy media responsibilities that the NFL calls for, so we're going to give the media a whole minute. Now, try to listen to the questions, and then AB and his mumbling.
I'm super grateful to be here, play for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You know, I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up, but I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
Antonio, what's it been like working with Tom?
It's been a tremendous honor. He's been here a long time, a lot of details, a lot of work ethic. A great guy to be around and just inspire everyone here.
What has the process been to kind of get used to everything as everything's going on in your life?
Well, it's football, you know. I'm grateful to play football. Every time you walk in the doors here, you know, be your best for the team. So every time I walk in here, I just want to make sure that I'm preparing to keep these guys in my bed.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability before?
I appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Antonio.
59 seconds?
59 seconds. That was his full media availability. His first time speaking to reporters since the trade.
Who's the lady who's like, what's it like playing with Tom? Like, you got a minute! That's what you're getting in?
And she fought for that question. Like, I was watching the scrum, and I've been in many scrums, obviously, as a reporter.
Yes.
She was fighting to get that question out there. Really? That you're going to have four questions, and they knew they had four questions. That's when you have to get out there? What's it like playing with Tom? Stop it. Just stop.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think they told the media, you're going to have a minute?
I think they said four questions.
And did they say all football?
I don't know how they prefaced it, but from what I understand, they told them four questions. And if you're going to have that question as one of your four, get out of that locker room. That is insane.
Well, you wouldn't do that, though. You'd stay there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were just saying get out of the locker room to make a statement.
Oh, I thought, no, you mean I'd stay there and keep asking questions.
Oh, really?
Let's keep yelling at him.
When did you become a tough guy?
Like 2 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Gerard Gallant telling you none of your business, that's toughened you up?
Well, I think that's an example. Like, that was a time when nobody would ask a question.
You kind of were good. You just kind of smirked at him.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to reset here. Quick break. Randy Couture is actually here a little bit early, so the legendary MMA fighter is going to join us on a myriad of topics. We're going to talk about PFL, and then, as I said, Randy is going to give us advice on a lot of questions. We just want to know how, even as we're getting old, but we're still not real men, and we really need advice from Randy.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600. Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
All right, rolling towards the Thursday night football game. It's the Jags and the Titans. I'm excited for this conversation. We haven't talked to Randy Couture in a while. At least I haven't. I don't know if, Adam, you've been chatting with him at events and stuff, but a lot's going on with Mr. Couture. A lot is going on. How are you?
Very, very good. Good to see you guys.
So let's, first of all, talk about a little MMA, and then we're going to talk about sports and MMA. PFL's landed in Vegas. This has always been a really tough market to break, you know, beyond the UFC promotion.
Yep.
And they're coming here, and the tournament format is pretty crazy.
It's great. It's the first time I think anybody's really taken a true sports format and applied it to mixed martial arts. We have a regular season, 6 weight classes, 12 fighters in each weight class. Those guys will fight twice in the regular season. How they finish those fights will score points. And the top 8 guys from each weight class progress to the postseason. We're doing our postseason fights, all 6 of them. It's 3 fight nights, so 2 weight classes per night on the 11th, 17th, and 31st here in October at Mandalay Bay. And they'll fight twice in one night, which throws back to when I started in MMA, when we were fighting in tournament format all the time. In our playoffs, you'll fight the quarterfinals, which is a 2-round fight, and then the winners will advance to the semifinals, which is a 3-round fight. And the winners of that will go to the finale, which is in Madison Square Garden, and not only will you be the 2019 world champion for Professional Fighters League, but you'll walk out of there with a $1 million check. So Pretty interesting.
And the fights here will be Mandalay Bay?
Yes, sir.
So a cool venue here in town. I want you to take people inside the mind of a fighter who has to fight twice in a night, because I think the average person might say, oh, you're going to conserve your energy because you have to fight twice. But the mindset really is to try to get it over as quick as you can, right?
Absolutely right. I think especially that first round, because that first round is the tiebreaker in the criteria in a two-round fight. So who goes out hard wins that first round, has a leg up. If he should let off in the second round and it becomes a draw, that's the criteria to break that draw. So it's interesting to me to see how the guys deal with that adversity. First of all, facing two different opponents, solving two different sets of problems in one night. Some guys want to wait. Oh, man, I hope I get like an hour break before the next fight. I can cool down. I can chill out and then get back warmed up and go ready to go. Some guys are like, I want to go now. I don't want to wait till I cool down. I just got kicked in the leg twice. That's going to stick. Right. But, you know, it's a whole different thing. So it's definitely one of the more challenging nights in athletics across the board and certainly in MMA.
Adam, who do you think would have an advantage in two fight a night tournament? Wrestler, striker? I was actually thinking wrestler, but then you threw me off by saying, hey, we got to get over as quick as possible.
Wrestlers are known for their cardio. I mean, that would be helpful. But I think
you would assume if you have top control, you're going to take less damage.
Yes, and I think that's one, obviously, because that was my style. But
right.
That was my mind. I'm going to take you down and hold you down and grind on you and win without sustaining a bunch of damage, getting into that fist fight, see who goes down first.
But you got to be in shape.
Absolutely.
Because we see it. You know, it's funny, the evolution of MMA, we've seen guys who were wrestlers by trade add the striking, and then all of a sudden, as they get older, their wrestling kind of disappears. They don't use it. And then you talk to a lot of them, they're like, well, I found my new tool. And the other thing is, wrestling's hard.
Yeah.
When you get older, it's hard.
No, that's true. It's very true.
What do you tell fighters who fall into that? Like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it over the years of guys who they learn how to strike and they're like, I'm a striker now. Like, dude, that's
just
not what got you.
Yeah, exactly. You got to dance with the one that brung you, in my opinion. You can never take that wrestling off the table. It's a threat, especially if you can add striking to it. It only makes the other one that much more effective.
PFL's got big prizes too, right? I mean, this is real money,
yes,
if you win this whole thing.
Real money. There'll be 6 new millionaires walk out of that finale on New Year's Eve.
That's pretty cool.
Make you want to start fighting, Steve?
No. I'm way too old, and I could never fight. And I
don't
certainly
say old. I mean, look what he did.
He's like, how old are you now?
I'm 56 now.
Yeah, he's 56 going on like 35.
I feel like
I'm 49 going on 70. It's a little different.
You could still come back and win fights, though, right?
If I had to, I believe I could still do it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense for me at this time.
No.
Just on a side, sorry to throw off this, but on a side note, is it bad when I see some of the older guys, you know, some of your generation guys have come back recently and we've seen it, is it wrong of me to not want to watch it because I feel bad, like I don't want to see it?
I know what you speak of, and yeah, it was kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah.
And again, you know, each and every one of us is an individual. We have this motivation, this fire that burns in us, and that fire burns out at different times for different people, or there are other motivations involved. But you know, I think it's always kind of sad to see a guy that's trying to still do it when he's kind of past his prime, and it's not just not getting the job done. Certainly not the way we're used to seeing him get the job done.
It sucks, but it's also terrible to have to tell someone, and I'm not comfortable with promoters telling guys, you know, to tell BJ Penn or Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it anymore.
Shouldn't
if they want to
do
it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy I went out when I went out. Yeah. I went out on my terms. I didn't have a doctor or promoter tell me I shouldn't do it anymore. I went out competing at a high level still, and my body's intact, and I feel good, and I feel good about the way I went out. So
PFL in town, October 17th, 24th, and
11th.
11th,
17th, and 31st.
Okay, I thought it was 3 weeks in a row. I screwed that up. 11, 17, and 31, right?
Yep. Correct.
I nailed it. Mandalay Bay.
They're actually supporting my foundation for wounded veterans, and the motto with the PFL is, what do you fight for? And so in every city that we've gone to, we found a foundation to get behind to support. It was a homeless shelter up in Atlantic City. It was a different one in Long Island. We did three fights there. We're doing three fights here, and they've decided that they want to support my foundation for wounded vets. So Extreme Couture GI Foundation is going to be the beneficiary of a 50-50 raffle where the winner will take away 50% of the proceedings, and the other half will go to my foundation for wounded vets. So I'm very excited and honored that the PFL wanted to do that for me.
You've also got MVP, right?
MVP is doing very, very well. We're in 4 cities now across the country. We're working on funding New York and looking at Oklahoma City. I was just at a foundation fundraiser yesterday in Atlanta for the Atlanta chapter. Dan Quinn from the Falcons stepped up huge, wrote a check out of his personal account to start that program 9 months ago. And so now the community and everybody's gotten behind it. We got 60 people at that workout on Tuesday night. It was amazing. So we just raised $33,000,
nice,
to fund that and continue that program running there. Deloitte was very instrumental in helping us raise that money. We went to the Braves game in the suite, watched the whole thing, had a silent auction. Some of our vets came and told kind of their story, their journey, and how they found MVP and what MVP has meant to them. So that's been really cool as well.
Did you envision all this stuff developing? I mean, you were saying off the air, you're like, I am busier now than ever. And a lot of it is charity work. I mean, you are part of so many good efforts.
I'm excited and happy to be as busy as I am. I think a lot of guys retire, and then they're sitting on the couch eating bonbons and twiddling their thumbs, and they don't have something purpose to keep them occupied and to be competitive and all those things that we're so used to being. And so I feel very blessed to be as busy as I am. Between the acting, the businesses, and the charities, it keeps me hopping.
Bonbons are good, though.
They're not bad.
they're not bad at all. They're very good.
All right, we're going to step aside here real quick. We'll do What's Trending. We'll come back with Randy Couture in less than five.
It's time to hit What's Trending, brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
UNLV football returns home on October 5th to face Mountain West Conference King Boise State. America First Credit Union is going to honor one October survivors that night by donating 300 tickets to the Vegas Strong Resiliency Center. AFCU is offering complimentary tickets to survivors and up to four of their family members. You got to call 702-455-23. Check that, 2433 for tickets. Golden Knights reassigned four players to their junior teams. Mason Primo was one of them. Preseason continues tonight on the road versus the Kings. Pregame on Fox Sports Las Vegas at 7 o'clock. You can watch the game with VGK Frank and Ryan Wallace at Twin Peaks on Eastern. The puck drops at 7:30.
Mariota rolling right. They're going to screen it to Henry. Man is blocked in the flat. A lot of room. 30, 40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, and
yes.
Zone.
Yes.
No flags on the field. 75 yards. Touchdown. Tight.
It's Cofield and Company.
Company. Company. Company.
Now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
Jaguars, Titans coming up. Jack better stop that guy. He's a monster, and he's fast. Freaking ridiculous athlete. Derrick Henry, the running back for the Titans. Yeah, we're at Silver Sevens. Randy Couture is nice enough to stop by. We were talking PFL and their events coming up in October right here in Las Vegas, October 11th, 17th, 31st. Tournament format. Finale. Yep. Finale for $1 million. Six different fights.
Yep. Six different weight
and we're
classes.
Not talking $1 million combined. $1 million for each winner. So when this tournament starts and it's here in Vegas, the intensity is going to be through the freaking roof. We were just talking to Randy about all his charitable work and MVP, which is merging vets and players.
Correct.
Jay Glazer, Nate Boyer, talked to Boyer often, and yourself started that whole thing. So a lot of it, it's based out of where? Because you got
the original chapter was in L.A. at Unbreakable Glazer's gym in L.A.
Okay,
and that's where we you know first met Boyer. He was coming from Texas as long snapper, trying to get a tryout with the Seahawks, and Jay was instrumental in helping him get that tryout and have him make the team. That's where I met him and started training and helping him working, not only on combatives but just in general getting ready for that tryout. And it was through that process, you know, Jay and I have been doing MMA athletics training pro ball players for over 12 years now, and gotten to know some of them very, very well. When they retire, they struggle with a lot of the same things that our veterans do. I mean, I wore that veteran's uniform. I walked away from that. Thankfully, I had college and a lot of other things that were my next purpose. A lot of these guys don't know what they're going to do to fill that void. And our pro ball players are the same way. Adrenaline junkies walking out that tunnel, there's no more exciting thing than that. Strip away that locker room. They miss those guys, that locker room, that support. They struggle with a lot of the same issues transitioning to normal life. And so MVP was founded on creating a place where these guys can talk about that. They can be vulnerable. They can share. Not only train again, because to a man, they're like, should have seen me when I was in uniform. I was in great shape.
Right.
So getting them break, you know, sweating, breaking down some of those barriers, and then sharing what's going well, what's going bad. What are, especially the vets, you know, oh, the VA screwing me, or, you know, whatever. So it's been very, very powerful. We're in four cities now across the country. Started in L.A. I run the Vegas chapter here. We're in Chicago now at the POW Gym in downtown Chicago. And we're at Manu's gym in Atlanta. Dan Quinn, instrumental in helping us get that up and running in Atlanta, wrote a check out of his own checkbook to fund that 9 months ago. So, you know, I think these football players recognize how important this is for them as well as our vets.
You talk about, like, the some of the athletes, and we've talked about this many times before, and I'm sure, you know, you felt the same way. When you walk away from competition, you miss that rush of a victory, of training and coming through and accomplishing it. Does charity work for you? Kind of, does it do that for you? Like, if you have a big event and you get a big check and you're like, man, this is great.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's become part of that new purpose for me. That is part of who I am. One, because I wore the uniform in the '80s. Two, because I walked away from being a professional athlete for 14 years. I've been in both of those uniforms and both those situations in that transition, and now getting a chance to give back to some of these guys that number one, I was a fan of, or number two, I'm just honored to be around because they served our country and all of that. So it's been great.
Do you get a rush acting? Like after a scene?
I do.
Are you like, yeah?
I do. When you put yourself out there, it's such a weird thing to try and find ways to relate to these characters, emote real things and get in touch with this and portray it and tell the truth. If you're trying to act, it's never going to work. And so there's something about getting in that groove and finding that through the course of a film and then seeing that finished product, and you can be proud of that. It's, I don't know, it's a weird thing, but it is definitely an interesting process.
I don't think there's a show we talk about here on this show more than Ballers. We just saw you on there, obviously. Were you a fan of the show before you did it?
I am. I like the show. I think The show is interesting. It raises some interesting questions. It deals with some interesting issues. You know, Wahlberg and Dwayne Johnson, those guys are, honestly, they're brilliant. They're very, very smart. They know exactly what they're doing. Obviously, I got in to do a couple of episodes through Glazer and my relationship with Glazer. So, and he's kind of more of a regular on the show. But, you know, it's kind of weird playing yourself.
Yeah.
At the same time, but it's also fun.
You get yelled at. Yeah, you get yelled at some point. Like, dude, you're not acting like yourself. Come on, be natural.
The director, telling you, nobody's believing you as Randy Couture.
I haven't had that issue yet.
Interesting is a good word. You said Ballers is interesting. That's a great word because I've said many times I think it's my favorite show, but I don't know why. I can't figure out why.
Huh.
I don't know what about it is great, but it just comes together and it's great.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
I was upset last night because you only had a couple lines or whatever it was, a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And Glazer's like all over the place. Now he's doing he's fake sports talk caller. Did you watch the episode?
I see. Yeah, I saw
he's
it.
Like fake sports talk caller to Ricky Jarrett as Jarrett's trying out for SiriusXM. Like, I was like all wrapped in that. Like,
well, he wasn't a fake caller. He was trying. He was actually trying to get the scoop. He was trying to be a reporter.
He was disguising his voice.
Yeah, he was trying to be. He was trying
Ricky
to be
Jarrett's
a
like, come on, I know
he
it's you,
wanted to
Jay.
Get him to talk. That's what it was.
Oh, was he trying to help him?
Yeah, no, he was trying to get him. He wanted a scoop because he figured he's like, oh, I'm going to find out some information here. And so he's like, I'm not a reporter calling. I'm just a caller.
The show's too smart for me.
Yeah, it is. It's way over your head.
I was like, bring back the boobs and rear ends from earlier. I was down with that. So the Unbreakable Gym, you know, you get a little pop in there. You got the T-shirt and everything. That's in West Hollywood, right?
Yeah, behind the Pink Taco on Sunset. Yep. It's a great place. Very unique and interesting format and place there. In some ways, you feel like you're going into Cheers. Everybody knows your name. You know, it's a small boutique-style sports performance training center. We treat every member there like they're part of our fight team. And a big part of it is the strength and conditioning stuff that we as fighters did or pro athletes do. That's why we get a lot of pro athletes that train in there. Aaron Rodgers is training in there. Lane Johnson, Chris and Kyle Long training there. We get a bunch of guys come through there that train in there. And it's a really interesting
place. Do you, as a wrestling background guy, and obviously you had striking, you were a champion in two divisions, do you grapple with guys? Do you, like, I would think if I go in, like, if I'm Lane Johnson, now Lane Johnson's a lot bigger than you, but if I'm Lane Johnson, I'm like, yeah, let me, I.
But he's a lineman, and he needs to learn how to body-on-body contact and how to use his hands and how to create an arm drag
and
cut guys off of him and we make him work for 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And Lane was one of those relentless guys that he would literally get so tired he'd run out the door and puke.
Really?
But he'd be right back on the mat for the next go. And I mean, it showed. He you know, he's a great player. He does a great job. I love that guy.
MMA really should be part of just about every football program's work with the linemen, because the defensive linemen especially. I mean, I've seen there was some nutty stuff that who was it? Now I'm blanking on his name. The great defensive lineman for the Rams who just got
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. I was thinking of Howard last name, but Aaron Donald was like working. I don't know what he was like working with knives and stuff, and just the hand play between the linemen is amazing.
Yeah, we work a lot with Andrew Whitworth of the Rams. He's on our board for MVP, and he's also a regular at the gym and trains with us a bunch. He's a great guy.
You don't have to say any names here, but has there been like an actor that came in and was like, oh, like, you know, you're in LA, like, oh, I'm tough, I'm going to get in there, and then they were like, this is not for me.
Yeah, you got to send them a message at some point. Like, they're trying too hard. No, you're like, all right, let's go, brother.
We really haven't had – I've gotten more of that here at Extreme Couture MMA, the guys that think they're fighters and want to come in and, oh, I'm, you know, they don't want to take a regular class. I want to be with the pros. I can kick those guys, you know. We get more of that here in the MMA. We don't really get that there. I think they're a little intimidated. Most of them have never sparred before, and that's the first thing we'll do is put the gloves on them. And you know, having somebody throwing gloves at your face is – a unique experience, guys. That fight or flight kicks in, so breaking that barrier down and teaching them what to do and how to protect themselves. And you know who's amazing has been Wiz Khalifa, put on like 20 pounds, and he is a damn good kickboxer.
Is he gonna
fight? I have fun sparring with him now.
Is he gonna fight?
I don't know. There's been some talk of that. I don't really think that's a great idea. That's not where his bread's buttered.
Yeah.
But he's got some skills. He's long. He's rangy. He can literally kick over my head easily. And it's been fun to watch and see him progress over the last couple of years, training and working with him.
You're a former pro athlete, so, I mean, you know what goes into it, and you appreciate the work ethic, and everyone's got different levels of work ethic. The other thing is the want to learn. And you were just telling us about a couple of quarterbacks that you worked with.
Yeah.
And you got to talk to. So, one, talk about the cagey old veteran who I think was trying to lean on you for like, hey, Randy, well, you fought forever. I want to play football forever.
Part of our program with the MMA Athletics in Glazer was we would embed in the, you know, we embedded in the Rams when they were in St. Louis. We've embedded in the Falcons. We've embedded with the Saints a couple of times. Last year we embedded with the Saints and the Cleveland Browns. And now there's two ends of the spectrum there. Drew Brees, one of the older quarterbacks in the league and still firing on all cylinders, and, you know, suck to see him hurt his thumb, but I think he'll be back in short order, and he's just a great guy and asked a million questions, wanted to know all about how it was for me competing into my, you know, well into my 40s, almost 48. Obviously, that's what he's looking at and how to stay on the top of it and mentally and physically, what were the things that I did to stay in there. And then go from there to Baker Mayfield.
Right. Must have been a total jerk. Cocky kid. What a horse's ass he is.
Not at all.
What?
Asked a million questions. It doesn't really apply so much to his position as a quarterback, but he still was intrigued and interested in what we were doing and why we were doing it. And I was really, really impressed with him.
What's your proudest accomplishment from your career?
I think just it wasn't one fighter or anything overall. It was I was able to represent the sport in a particular way, and I'm proud of that. You know, everybody assumed we're thugs and somehow we're dangerous when I started this, and would literally go into meetings in Hollywood to meet casters and producers and stuff, and they're like, oh my God, you're one of those cage fighters. Like, somehow I was going to jump them or hold them down and bite them or something. And to see that transition, to guys like, you know, Fry and Coleman and Hoyce, and they're just really genuinely nice guys. This is just what we do. It's our living. That's probably the thing I'm most proud of.
And Adam and I have been covering the sport for a long time, so we got to meet all you guys, and we've seen the evolution of the way fighters handle themselves. I'm not sure MMA and specifically UFC would have got to where it got to if you guys weren't well-behaved and well-spoken and came across as professionals. Like, if it had all been Conor McGregor's and Colby Covington
from the beginning. Yeah, no, you're absolutely
right. Because people were already nervous as hell about this blood sport, and then you get guys acting like killers and morons. It may have killed the thing from the get-go.
Yeah, and the shame is that those antics and those types of stunts are being rewarded. And, you know, it's a lot more akin to the WWE model instead of prize fighting, or what prize fighting should be. And that's one of the reasons why I really love what's going on with the PFL in this format. It's a meritocracy. You want to talk smack and you're trying to play that psychological game, go ahead, but it ain't going to get you anywhere. You still got to go out and score points and win fights. And I like that meritocracy.
Can you stick around for five more?
Sure, absolutely.
Because we got to ask you about some of the other forays into the entertainment business. We want to get into Family Feud, and we are going to put you to the test to try to. We got to toughen Adam up. He just turned 40, and it's just. I hear the stories at home. It's just embarrassing. His mother came out to visit us the other day. I mean, she's hanging her head in shame. It's just. I mean, she's proud of his work, but I mean, it's just. Come on, Adam. You got to get it together. That's Randy Couture. He's going to stick around with us for a few more minutes here at Silver Sevens as we're getting ready for the 5 o'clock kickoff between the Jags and the Titans.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know any more until tomorrow. So let's just, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
Before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
I don't know where I fall on situations like that. That was Ron Rivera, Panthers coach. He's tired of talking about Cam and the injury, and then he walks out.
What questions does he expect to get?
I know.
It's the biggest story around their team.
And I side with the media side of it because it's like, dude, you're a football head coach. I know we can wear on you, but all you do is preach discipline and accountability, and then you walk out of a room with adults there. I don't know.
You are big on treating reporters like adults. And I don't.
Well, because I've talked to you about it.
I know.
Gerard Gallant talks to you like you're 12, and he talks to all the reporters like they're kids, and it's like, in my case, like, I'm old. I don't need this. I got to call my mother later that night. She's going to yell at me. I guess that was kind of counterintuitive, but you get my point?
Yeah, I think we can turn this to
Randy. I wasn't raised this way.
I think we can turn this to Randy, though, because, I mean, you've been there. I've been there asking you questions before. I'm sure there's times where you're like, I don't want to do this. Like, what are we doing? But you also understand there's a responsibility
there.
You
come to expect it. Obviously, every single fight I had, it was going to be about my age and how I was holding up. I mean, 90% of the questions, that's what it was.
For like 10 years.
But I know that going in.
Yeah.
He had to know going in that was going to be the major topic of discussion was the injury to his best quarterback.
When do you get mad?
Like, I don't.
Come on Family Feud. You're there as a come on, you're there as a tool to set up Steve Harvey and his jokes. Hey. At some point, someone's got to call him on it.
No, I like Steve Harvey.
So
it was great. It was a fun experience, and it was great.
Does the competitive nature come out?
Absolutely. Like, I don't want to lose to anybody. Certainly under that,
Your episode.
I'm sure Bader's got all kinds of crap for some of his.
Was he terrible?
He probably had the more interesting answers of the night.
Okay.
It was just fun. It was,
there's a lot of strategy in Family Feud. Like a lot of times you're in the position you get to give the good answer, and then down the line, like you're fourth or fifth person, you're like, I don't know. Now I got to start
grasping at straws.
Right. It's a nightmare. God, I was hoping he was going to say Bader was just kind of dumb. Like Bader.
I think that's what he was saying.
Was he?
No, that wasn't what I was saying.
Starting trouble. Yeah. The media.
Exactly.
Here we go. All right. So Steve Harvey gets a thumbs up. Baker Mayfield gets a thumbs up during this interview. This is crazy.
So far, everybody is getting thumbs up.
Well, he's a positive guy.
I know.
With a couple of negative guys.
Doesn't fit on the show. We're negative about everybody. And then he comes in and he's just throwing a sprinkling of gold dust around here of positivity.
It's the voice of Randy Couture, PFL. He's working with them. They're in town coming up in October. Again, the dates and 11th, the tourney format.
Yeah, 11th, 17th, 31st, Mandalay Bay. Axis, Ticketmaster, or SeatGeek. You can get tickets now for those shows, so I think they're going to be big.
By the way, not to sandbag you, but you said you never get mad. I know a time you've gotten mad.
When did I get mad?
And it was on social media, I think over the summer. Unless it was a fake Randy Couture account.
No, I did. Your picture was there.
You remember what it was?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, it was the debate over abortion.
No.
What was this?
No, you had travel woes. There was a flight.
Oh, no. I was pissed off.
You flipped out over, I think it was United.
Delta.
I was shocked.
2 weeks in a row because we had shows up in Long Island, so I had to take Delta to the East Coast, and both times they really jacked me around, and I was just like, that's it. I'm done with this airline.
Let's go.
Did you do
a video or write up? I can't remember.
Both.
That's when Randy Couture is really mad.
Did you think about, before you hit send, did you, like, did you think, or are you like, I'm so mad, I'm just sending this?
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's never fun to spend the night in the airport.
Oh, God.
Because they literally gave my seat away, claimed they're calling my name, and I'm sitting that far away. Like, there's no way you call my name.
Now I remember it. Yeah, that was it.
He's did
like,
you?
Actually, 3 hours. I was there 4 hours early because I had no reason to. I had to check out of the hotel in the morning. Sometimes traffic in New York is insane. So I'm like, I'll just get there. I'll have dinner, you know, and I'll sit there. And when I was checking in 4 hours early, they were trying to get people to take a bump then. And they overbooked it.
Yeah.
And they
I like that you're still mad about it. That's
because it can be infuriating.
Of course. I'm with him. I'm there.
Those sorts of things rarely happen. But to have it happen with the same airline 2 weeks in a row.
Did you stay at the airport?
I slept at the airport.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
I've done this several times.
And it was cold as hell.
Really? In
the
airport?
Oh, my gosh. It was cold.
That was what, JFK?
LaGuardia.
Yeah.
Little travel tip. There's actually a site called Sleeping in Airports, and it'll tell you the best place to sleep in every airport in the country. Keep that in mind if you ever have to do it again.
He's like,
but also,
yes, I don't want to do it again.
I know it very well.
But you're trying to avoid that at all costs.
All I'm thinking about is I've had to do this before. I'm traveling every week. It's insane. But, like, I've been there. But to me, I'm just a guy. I go to sleep at the airport, whatever. You can't just sleep at the airport. People are walking by like, are you Randy Couture? Are you sleeping at the airport? That's going to be crazy.
I was one of the only people there, so there was nobody walking by recognizing my butt in the middle of the night.
Fair enough. So we were talking about Randy being a real man, and we're really not.
Not at all. In any way.
And really what it concerns is, like, just manly stuff, like stuff around the house. Like, are you good at just doing everything around the house?
I was raised in a single-parent household. My mom had 3 kids. I was the oldest and only male. So the chore list was pretty extensive. I learned to do my own iron, and I learned to do my own laundry. I cook for myself.
Well, you can do that. You can do that, right?
No,
can you iron?
No.
You can't iron?
Of course not.
And I actually...
I'm a shirt.
You know,
getting no shots.
I like the fact that I had to learn to do all those things as a kid.
And you build stuff.
I'm way better at destruction than construction, to be honest.
All right.
You need something broke, I'm probably the guy you want to call for that. But if you want something built and you want it to look nice and look right,
like a shelf or just like
hang a shelf.
Okay, like put together furniture.
Yeah, and I did some, you know, I built some speaker stands or, you know, that. But those are simple things to build. Not
simple.
Are they? Are they?
Not to me.
They're pretty simple.
They're not. I tell you, I have... One of our friends, I have a lady who basically is our handy woman. It's embarrassing.
That's awesome.
That's sexist.
No, we had to put... What? That's a good point. That is sexist.
That is very sexist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We had a bed to put together, and I'm like, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten to the point where, because I know I'm just going to be sweating and angry, I'm going to break it. It's bad. It's pathetic. And I'm better than him.
Way better. I can literally do nothing.
He's good for moving stuff because he's a big guy.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Call him up and I'm like, here's a giant, cumbersome dresser. You could be on the bottom part going down the stairs.
The only other time you called me for help is to find your cat.
Oh, that's right.
Which is another very non-masculine thing to have to do, but you're like, I got to find the cat. So I brought the dog over to try to find your cat.
Yeah, you're a dog guy, right?
Tend to be more of a dog guy, but my girlfriend has a cat that's 20 years old.
How's that going?
She's actually, it's a great cat.
Okay.
But it's deaf now, so it can't hear itself, and it howls like a banshee every morning. I'm like, would you please just kick already?
Wow. I'm waiting for the angry tweet about the cat, too. You're going to send an angry cat tweet one morning.
Oh, Lord.
But it won't stop howling.
Do you have a fighter that you admire now? Back to MMA for a second to close out. Do you have a fighter that you admire in terms of the style, whatever, the way they carry themselves?
I've been a big fan of Michael Chandler for quite a while. Amazing gas tank, another guy with a wrestling background similar to mine. The other guy is Lance Palmer. Again, very similar style, great, just the way he approaches everything, I admire that. I like it.
Chandler is one of those guys, though, man. He throws himself on the shield. He doesn't have to do that all the time. He can grapple and wrestle.
But that's his style. He's wide open and you know, it's fun to watch.
It's cool for the fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you like seeing those guys? Like, fans love the, I'm just going to go out and brawl and throw caution to the wind and I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But, you, I mean, obviously you being a wrestling background, you would think more the tactician style that you would appreciate. But every once in a while, do you just like to see the brawl too?
I think we all like to see that on occasion. And you know, see two guys that are really fired up and really get out there and get after it in that way. I mean, that's always exciting. It's always fun. But I like the technical aspect too. I like to see all, you know, play a position, play it smart, you know. I think those types of fighters tend to have a little more longevity. And the guys that go nose-to-nose and live or die by that sword don't, you know, that's a rough way to make a living.
This is an obnoxious question, but I'll just say it this way. How good is Khabib? I cannot remember seeing a guy that good.
He's very good. I think he's very good. I think arguably pound for pound the best guy in the sport right now. Again, another one of those very technical wrestler guys. He's putting together some better striking and being more effective in that range too. But he's dang good. I don't see anybody in the division beating him right now.
I was going to say, he's also a natural when you've got Daniel Cormier. If he's speaking objectively, saying that Cormier is, what, 250 pounds, saying that Khabib, pound for pound, is like one of the strongest guys he's ever locked up with.
Yeah.
And Daniel's, you know, was an Olympic-level wrestler.
Yeah, no, Daniel's, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Totally insane. Let's close on this. Three things. What's coming up on the acting front? Expendables? We got another Expendables?
I just finished the script. All the old guys are going to be back. It's a, like all these scripts, I read it and I'm like, how in the hell are we going to? It's amazing. And then next spring we'll start filming, so it'll be a good year and a half before you see it. Excited about Rambo coming out this Friday. The Last Blood, I think that it just looks amazing. The guy just continues. He's a consummate professional.
He's awesome.
An amazing guy.
Charity front. I was also reading October 12th, you got some kind of a sporting clay tournament here in town.
That's out at North Las Vegas Gun Club. All the proceeds from that shooting event will go to my foundation for wounded veterans. We've got Operation Knockout. It's the 11th time with Operation Knockout with Tough Enough on the 9th of November at Sam's Town, and all the proceeds from that fight night, amateur fight night, will go to the foundation as well.
That's Randy Couture, busy guy. One more time with PFL here in Vegas.
11th, 17th, 31st at Mandalay Bay. Access tickets, Seat Freak or Ticketmaster. Get your tickets. Quarterfinals, they're going to fight twice that night in two of the weight divisions on each of those three nights. So, and the winners go to the finale in Madison Square Garden for $1 million and be crowned the new champion for this year.
Awesome stuff. Live fighting in October just around the corner. Randy, that was great. I mean, you gave us 45 minutes. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good
Thanks
seeing
for having
you.
Me on, man.
We'll come back 4 o'clock hour. We got Big 5 at 5. We're going to talk to fantasy football expert and adult film star Lisa Ann and, of course, Brad Powers.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.